Today is Monday, March 29th, and you are listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. I am Chinedu Ofor, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Coming up, President Biden condemns shooting of Myanmar funeral protesters.
After Myanmar's military reportedly opened fire at a funeral, they drew harsh international condemnation on Monday.
Also, less than 300,000 of Nigeria's 200 million population get COVID vaccine.
Also, is there a possibility of theft of the vaccine, or the vaccine going to where it should not be?
Plus, President Biden invites rivals Russia and China to his first big climate talks. These stories and more are next. Our top story today is in Mozambique. Dozens of people were killed in an attack on the northern Mozambique town of Palma this week, a spokesman for the Defense and Security Forces said on Sunday, including 7 people killed when their convoy of cars was ambushed as they tried to escape. Hundreds of other people, both local and foreigners, have been rescued from the town located near gas projects worth $60 billion, spokesman Omar Saranga told journalists. The province of Cabo Delgado, where the town is located, has since 2017 been the target of a simmering Islamic insurgency linked to Islamic State. Hundreds of people fleeing the attack, which began on Wednesday, are arriving by boat in the port city of Pemba, a diplomatic and aid worker said. Saranga said security forces were seeking to, quote, eliminate some pockets of resistance, unquote, after spending the past 3 days focusing mainly on rescuing local and foreign citizens. It has not specified the name of the group, and there has been no claim of responsibility. In Myanmar on Sunday, funerals were being held after 114 protesters were killed the day before. At one, security forces were reported to have opened fire. David Doyle of Reuters has more.
In Myanmar on Sunday, it was time to bury the dead, after the bloodiest day of violence since protests began 2 months ago. But after the country's military coup, even mourning loved ones is no longer safe. Troops opened fire at a funeral in the town of Bago, witnesses said. A woman called Ai was at the service for Fei Maung Maung, a 20-year-old student who was shot on Saturday. She said they were singing a revolutionary song when security forces arrived and opened fire. There were no immediate reports of casualties from that incident. Ceremonies were being held across Myanmar on Sunday after 114 people were killed the day before. There were no reports of large-scale protests in Yangon or Second City Mandalay, which bore the brunt of Saturday's casualties. The bloodshed drew renewed condemnation from the West. UN Special Rapporteur on Myanmar, Tom Andrews, said the army was carrying out mass murder. He called on the world to isolate the junta, cutting off its funding and halting access to weapons. Words of condemnation or concern are frankly ringing hollow to the people of Myanmar, he said. Among the dead on Saturday, at least 6 children aged between 10 and 16, according to news reports and witnesses. In Yangon, 13-year-old boy Sai Wei Yan was being remembered. His mother is saying, "Mum is calling you. Can't you hear me? How can I live without you?"
That's David Doyle of Reuters. Western figures, including U.S. President Joe Biden, on Monday condemned reports that Myanmar's armed forces opened fire at a funeral near Yangon the day before as the country gathered to mourn at least 114 people killed in the bloodiest crackdown on protests since the coup began. Jason Albano of Reuters reports.
After Myanmar's military reportedly opened fire at a funeral, they drew harsh international condemnation on Monday. That's on top of more than 100 people killed over the weekend in the worst crackdown on anti-military protests since the coup began 2 months ago. According to news reports and witnesses, at least 6 children between the ages of 10 and 16 were among those killed on Saturday. In Yangon, mourners at the Sunday funeral service of a 20-year-old student said they were forced to flee after being shot at. No casualties were immediately reported. Hours later, U.S. President Joe Biden condemned the military.
It's terrible. It's absolutely outrageous. An awful lot of people have been killed totally unnecessarily.
The UN Special Rapporteur for Myanmar said the army was carrying out mass murder. He called for an isolation of the junta, cutting off its funding for oil and gas, as well as halting its access to weapons. The EU's top diplomat, Josep Borrell, called on Myanmar's generals to stand down from what he said was a senseless path of violence against their own people. Myanmar's junta took power on February 1st, while elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi remains in detention at an undisclosed location. Foreign criticism and sanctions imposed by some Western nations have failed so far to sway military leaders. Hundreds of people have died in the ongoing protests since the coup began.
That's Jason Albano of Reuters. Thai authorities along the country's border with Myanmar are bracing for a possible influx of more ethnic Karen villagers fleeing new airstrikes by the Myanmar military. Myanmar aircraft carried out 3 strikes overnight Sunday, according to Free Burma Rangers, a humanitarian relief agency that delivers medical and other assistance to villagers. A member of the agency says no one was believed to have been killed, but one child was severely injured. On Sunday, about 2,500 people crossed the river dividing the two countries after 2 days of aerial attacks. The airstrikes mark an escalation in the increasingly violent crackdown by the Myanmar government against opponents of the February 1st military takeover. A suspected suicide bomber blew up outside a Catholic church in the Indonesian city of Makassar on Sunday, wounding at least 14 people on the first day of the Easter Holy Week, police and witnesses said. Brian Wood of Reuters reports.
Several people in the Indonesian city of Makassar were wounded after a suspected suicide bombing outside of a Catholic church on Sunday. Indonesian National Police said 2 people were suspected of carrying out the attack after local police reported the bomber acted alone. Local police also said that a congregation had been inside the church at the time of the explosion as they celebrated the first day of the Easter Holy Week. Video from the scene showed damaged cars parked nearby and the church cordoned off by police. A priest at the church told local media that a suspected bomber tried to enter the church grounds on a motorbike, but was stopped by a security guard. The country's top counterterrorism official described Sunday's events as an act of terrorism. Police did not say who might be responsible for the attack, and there was no immediate claim of responsibility. A similar suicide attack on churches in 2018 left more than 30 dead in the city of Surabaya. Police blamed that on an extremist group inspired by the Islamic State. The country has seen a recent resurgence in militant violence, with scores of Indonesians traveling to the Middle East to fight for the Islamic State.
That's Brian Wood of Reuters. More than 18,000 unaccompanied children are in U.S. custody since they crossed the southern U.S. border in recent months in what has become an early test for the administration of President Joe Biden. VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
When it comes to his handling of the surge in migrants at the border with Mexico, President Joe Biden gets a low score. 57% of those surveyed in a recent ABC News Ipsos poll say they disapprove of the way he is dealing with the situation. Although Biden has urged migrants to stay home, critics say his policy shifts have led to the thousands attempting the dangerous journey north. Biden stopped construction of a border wall that former President Donald Trump advocated and embraced what he said would be more humane immigration policies. The bigger flow of migrants started last April when Trump was in office, but the numbers have grown under Biden. Some lawmakers have made trips to the border to see the situation for themselves.
To me, it was shocking. I think the president and the vice president need to go down there, see what I saw, see what the other Republicans and Democrat congressmen are coming down there. There are things that we can do immediately to address the challenges there. But right now, it is open borders. It's a humanitarian health crisis that we need to address.
The Biden administration says the border is not open and that individuals and families are being turned away. The surge of migrants is cyclical, they argue, and a multi-pronged approach is needed.
They're not the result of one administration's policies or another administration's policies. They're the result of, for example, weather disasters in the region. They're the result of people fleeing poverty and violence.
Biden has tapped Vice President Kamala Harris to lead the administration's response to the influx of unaccompanied migrant youths, the only category of asylum seekers currently allowed to pursue claims in the United States. The administration has set up 9 emergency shelters to house the children before sending them on to more permanent housing. More than 80% of the children have a family member in the U.S. For more than 40%, that person is a parent. Ultimately, the solution, Biden says, involves working with countries such as Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador so that people there don't feel they need to leave their homes to come to the U.S. But that will take time. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Meanwhile, President Joe Biden continues to face scrutiny amid a recent migrant surge, with his administration saying they are working as quickly as possible to address the situation, while lawmakers in both parties say that's not what they are seeing. AP correspondent Julie Walker reports.
A visit to the Donna detention facility in Texas by Republicans and photos of overcrowding released by a Democrat have the White House on defense. Communications Director Kate Bedingfield.
The president is working as quickly as possible to address the situation.
But that's not good enough for Republican Senator Dan Sullivan.
To me, it was shocking.
And he says heartbreaking.
Right now, it is open borders. It's a humanitarian and also health crisis.
More than 16,000 unaccompanied children were in government custody. Bedingfield says they're working to speed up the amount of time they're being held. And
the vast majority of people who arrive at our border were turning away.
Both made their comments on ABC's This Week. I'm Julie Walker.
The Biden administration says it is concerned about illegal fishing by Chinese vessels. China leads the illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing industry, with a fleet of thousands around the world. White House correspondent Patsy Wittes-Kuwara has this story.
Illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, or IUUF, is a huge industry, and China is its biggest player, according to a ranking by the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime. Thousands of Chinese fishing boats, many subsidized by Beijing, fish in territorial waters of countries in Africa, Southeast Asia, and South America, depleting fish stocks and hurting local economies. Beijing denies the allegation.
China is the largest country. It provides the largest amount of subsidies for harmful fishing by a large factor globally.
Last May, the Trump administration issued an executive order to combat IUUF and called on the international community to stand up against China's illegal fishing. The Biden administration is likely to continue the effort, telling VOA it considers combating IUUF a foreign policy priority.
It is an issue of overfishing in certain parts of the world. It is something our national security team is certainly watching and following closely.
As governments try to deter illegal fishing, skirmishes are common, including this incident late last year when the Ecuadorian Navy opened fire on the Chinese fishing vessels off the Galapagos Islands. Other governments, including Indonesia, have taken punitive measures, capturing and sinking Chinese fishing boats. The World Trade Organization failed to reach a deal to cut IUUF subsidies, such as those provided by Beijing, by the December 2020 deadline. Earlier this month, the new WTO Director General promised to push through the deal.
It's been 20 years, and 20 years is enough. That's my slogan. Now we have to get it done.
More than 13% of U.S. imports caught at sea in 2019 were derived from IUUF, according to a March report by the U.S. International Trade Commission.
That's that total amount of illegal fish coming into the U.S., well over $2 billion.
IUUF is also a human rights issue. Aid groups have documented examples of modern slavery in which workers are subjected to harsh conditions, low pay, and inadequate food and water for months or even years at sea. Patsy Wittes-Kuwara, VOA News.
This is the Voice of America. A canal service provider says workers have successfully set free a colossal container ship that for nearly a week has been stuck sideways across the Suez Canal, one of the world's most crucial arteries for trade. Lead agencies said the vessel had been refloated on Monday, helped by the peak of high tide, a flotilla of tugboats managed to wrench the bow of the skyscraper-sized Ever Given from the sandy bank of the crucial waterway where it had been firmly lodged since last Tuesday. A joint WHO China study on the origins of COVID-19 says that transmission from bats to humans through another animal is the most likely scenario, and that a lab leak of the coronavirus is, quote, extremely unlikely, unquote. A draft copy was obtained Monday by the Associated Press. The findings were largely as expected and left many questions unanswered. The team proposed further research in every area except the lab leak hypothesis. The human rights group in Afghanistan says it is probing a shooting last week in which CIA-trained Afghan forces reportedly killed 20 civilians during an anti-Taliban operation in Eastern Coast province. The development comes as Washington is trying to negotiate a reduction in violence between the Taliban and Afghan government forces. The report first surfaced on Sunday when residents from the provincial Sabiri district says pro-government forces, the so-called intelligence special forces, killed several civilians, including women and children. You are listening to International Edition on The Voice of America. I am Chinedu Ofo, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Nigeria's National Primary Healthcare Department has expressed concern that the country has only vaccinated 374,585 people out of a population of over 200 million with the COVID-19 vaccine. This as the government takes measures to prevent the distribution of fake vaccines following the discovery of over 3,000 doses of adulterated doses from China. For more, I spoke with Dr. Anthony Ibe, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Howard University and Georgetown School of Medicine in Washington.
Vaccinating less than 10% is not a good record, to say the least. So we need to do better, and therefore government need to go back right away immediately as a matter of urgency and say what went wrong. Is it a supply issue? Is it a distribution issue? Is there a personnel issue? Also, is there a possibility of theft of the vaccine or the vaccine going to where it should not be? But less than 10% at this rate, then we will not achieve a reasonable vaccination rate to create that herd immunity that we desire to prevent the disease from ravaging the population.
There are reports by some that the priority for this vaccination is being given to top government officials and some very prominent Nigerians rather than sending them to the local level. Frontline workers are those you might want to call essential workers are not getting it.
Yes, that might be part of the problem, because in that case, it means the vaccine is only distributed to a few people or a certain segment of the population, which is totally wrong. So what government needs to do, therefore, is to come out to be transparent and state clearly in all the newspapers, news outlets, these are the groups to be vaccinated. Maybe those above certain age, certain all the frontline workers, doctors, nurses, aides in the hospital, anybody that works in the hospital, because, you know, they're going to be at risk, needs to be vaccinated, you know, as a matter of priority, because we need those people to be healthy, to look after our people. Then those who are exposed to crowds, like market women, because that's also a high-risk area. Then we also need to consider the clergy, because they will be in contact with a lot of people during fellowship, which, you know, our people like, also ministering with them. So if we come up with a well-stated, clearly defined order for giving the vaccine and is transparent, then this will really go a long way to help government achieve its goal of mass vaccination.
Health professionals speak of rising number of COVID cases, especially the variants across the country. How worrying is this?
This, therefore, is a major concern. One, because our vaccination rate is low from what has been reported. Two, we are not 100% sure how these variants will go with the vaccines. But at least those who are vaccinated are more likely to fight the variants. That there's some evidence for that. And the other thing that is also troubling is that I don't see people being serious with most of the public health measures. I see people on TV or some other places wearing the mask. The mask is on their chin. And these are very high-level officials. So what does that mean? The mask on your chin is useless. You better don't even put it on. We need to emphasize the proper way of wearing the mask. It must cover your nose and your mouth. Very, very important if the mask wearing has to be useful of any significance.
The government is also reportedly dealing with some cases of fake COVID-19 vaccines circulating in the population. How does this affect the overall strategy to contain this pandemic?
This is a sad commentary, really, if we have the issue of fake vaccine. Of course, we know in our country there's always been fake medications. So it's not surprising that this may happen or is happening. So government needs to really move swiftly to stamp this in the board quickly by documenting sort of a chain of transportation or movement of the original vaccines, just like in maybe developed worlds where they count the narcotic medications.
That's Dr. Anthony Ibe, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Howard University and Georgetown School of Medicine in Washington. The Vatican is beefing up its COVID-19 vaccination campaign for some of the most marginalized in Rome. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The drive, providing new shots to 1,200 local poor people during Holy Week, follows an initial round of inoculations by the Vatican Health Service for the area's homeless people, using some of the shots the Vatican City-State had bought for the Pope, employees and their families. In a statement, officials say Pope Francis has urged everyone to get the shot as an exercise in collective well-being, and has also called for society's most vulnerable and fragile to have priority, since they're among the most exposed to the virus and least able to get medical care if they get sick. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Authorities in India's western state of Maharashtra imposed night curfews on Sunday to tackle a record surge in COVID-19 cases, with the financial capital, Mumbai, reporting 6,123 new cases, the highest single-day spike since March. Reuters' Emma McCarthy reports.
India's health ministry said on Sunday that the country recorded 62,714 coronavirus cases in the last 24 hours, the highest single-day tally since mid-October. And with 312 deaths, single-day mortality figures were also at their highest since Christmas. Several government hospitals in Mumbai reported they were running out of critical care beds. It's led to the mayor of Mumbai to allow only essential services to open at night, meaning that hotels, pubs and shopping malls must observe the night curfew rules. Residential areas with five or more reported COVID-19 cases in the city have also been ordered to be sealed off. The surge in cases across India comes during a vital election season, as West Bengal and Assam started voting for state assemblies on Saturday. The elections will indicate how support for Prime Minister Narendra Modi is holding up after a year of the pandemic and months of mass protests over farm laws.
That's Emma McCarthy of Reuters. Two of President Biden's international rivals are on the list of world leaders invited to his administration's first big climate talks. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
Those getting an invitation, Russia's Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
They know they're invited, but I haven't spoken to either one of them yet, individually.
The president's pledged to make climate change a priority and is trying to revive a forum of the world's major economies on climate. The virtual summit next month will test whether the U.S. can still drive global decision-making after Donald Trump withdrew from the world and refused to participate in climate talks. The Biden administration hopes the summit will deepen global efforts to cut fossil fuel pollution. Sagar Magani, Washington.
That's it for our show today. For more in-depth and breaking news 24 hours a day, please visit voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Nadia Taha, and our managing editor, Paul Alexander, I am Chinedu Ofo in Washington. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.